Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we love you today. I'm thankful I'm saved today. I'm thankful somebody was interested enough in my soul to invite me to church. And then, Lord, open to the gospel and getting saved. I pray if there's anybody here this morning that's not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray they get settled today. And I pray as us as Christians, as we're here today, help us not to be settled with being a lukewarm Christian. I pray help us to have open ears and open minds and open hearts to what the truth of God says. I pray be with the preacher and his wife if they're away. I know his heart is here and his wife's heart is here. I pray you'd encourage them and strengthen them. And Lord, we'll be careful today to give the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I think it's important to understand that the first thing in a Christian's life, and I think sometimes what happens is we become settled and content in where we are in our Christian life. And I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes you can come to a place where you think that you don't need to make change. And you're so far, and I'm so far from that. I say this all the time. If I was perfect, I would already be in heaven. Amen? That's what happened with Enoch, right? God took him. He had a perfect relationship with God, and God took him. The bottom line is I need to be a kind of person who's not settled where I am in my life. I need to make changes. The first thing I want to look at is cold Christianity is like Lot sitting in Sodom, carnal, fleshly, away from God, with no apparent difference between it and the world. Turn your Bibles, if you would. We're going to do a little turning this morning. Genesis 13. Genesis 13. The first person I want to look at is the man we all know is Lot. Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 8. Genesis 13, verse 8. Genesis 13, verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Here's what he's saying. Watch, listen. So Abram's the leader. He allows Lot to go with him. I don't know if that was a good move. It wasn't maybe of the Lord that he was supposed to take him. But he decides to take him. I really believe this is the first sign, honestly, if you want to talk about it, of a little bit of a welfare system, is Lot was getting his blessings because of Abram. I want you to think about that for a minute. There's some times in life where God blesses you in spite of you. Ever been there? And I believe that Lot is getting blessed because of who he's with. And I think we're going to see now, after Lot makes a decision, that he's going to make a decision of really where his heart is. Now, we don't know sometimes, but when we come to church, we all look pretty good. Hello? But honestly, God knows where we all are. And the bottom line is, God doesn't want us to become settled, but the bottom line is, if you're cold here today, there needs to be some changes made. And you listen, you get no brownie points. It's a good thing, but you get no brownie points just for coming to church. There's a lot of people who just come to church. Before I got saved, I went to the Roman Catholic Church, and I went to Catholic Church. I mean, they taught me about God in my head, but it wasn't until I got God from my head to my heart that it changed my life. And it was just, you ready? It was just like, you ready? It was just like some kind of obligation for me to do. God help us as individual, fundamental Baptist Christians that we just come on, because we feel like we have to go to church. And we, listen, we come into church and we leave the same way we came in with no change. Listen to me. That's what's happening in the liberal churches. They just want to have itching ears. Come on now. They don't want conviction. They just want to be settled where they are. God help us. God help it if I'm ever that kind of way. So here's Lot. He's about ready to make a decision. Abram says, hey, look, you go here, I'll go there. Here you go. Here's the story. Is not the whole... Now let me just pause there for a second. So could not Abram and Lot got along? Can God provide land when you need it? Watch. Let me stop here. Let me stop. Just one second. Do you think God can provide a building for you when you need it? Come on, we're sitting in it. Hello? A lot of people in the storefront never thought probably Hunt Valley Baptist Church be in a building. That's getting quiet right now, but that's a fact. There's a lot of people, when you have a little vision and a pastor has a little vision, sometimes people want to throw water on your vision. But you need to keep having vision and you need to keep going forward. Come on now, because I talked about it in the Sunday school this morning. You have no idea what God could do with your life until you give your life to God. So we're sitting in it today. I remember over there when we were cutting that wall in between that building. Lord, have mercy. Good night. And the steelwork and the welding and jackhammering in the middle of the night when you're trying to go to sleep. Amen? Wanting to kill somebody. Amen? But I think sometimes we just, listen, I don't think sometimes we have enough faith what God can do in our lives. And I think sometimes we limit God on what he can do. Listen, I said it in my Sunday school message, and let me just pause here for a second. Can you imagine if everybody in Hunt Valley Baptist Church was on fire for God? Do you know what kind of church this would be? Oh, it's getting real quiet now. That's because not all of us are on fire. Sometimes we have seasons. So here we go. All right, here we go. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So look what Lot does. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we eventually see Lot in Sodom. Now that's what happens when you get to be a cold Christian. And sometimes in life, we get to a point in our life, you ready? Where we just don't even care. And the bottom line is we become so cold that the Holy Spirit of God can't speak to us. And we wonder sometimes why we make bad decisions and why we do the wrong things. It's because sometimes we're not interested in what God has to say. We're just interested in what we want to do. That's the cold Christian. Number two, the lukewarm Christian. has a form of godliness. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read 1 to 5. 1 to 5. Start in verse number 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Can I ask you a question? Do you think we're in the last days? Are things bad right now? Hello? All right, watch it. Here's what happens. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Woo! Come on now. We live in there now. I think about this professional sports. I love watching some of it, but I try to watch college more than I watch professional sports. Because professionals think they're all that in a bag of chips. Come on now. Like, listen. Like LeBron James. Do you know why I don't like LeBron James? Because he claims himself to be king. The only king I know is King Jesus. Amen? I'm just saying it's not King James, okay? I know he's an athlete and the whole nine yards, but he's not king, all right? King Jesus is king, all right? I'm just saying. I want you to think for a minute. Before he dribbles a basketball, I think he was at $160 million. He's probably at $190 million. Before you even dribble the basketball. How many think that's a lot of money? How many think I'd like to have just $1 million? I'm thinking like some of them need to go to church somewhere and give a bunch of money. Amen. Come on now. We take $1 million here in Hunt Valley. Amen. Solid Rock take a few million of that. Amen. Come on now. But here you go. Ready? In the Christian life, it's supposed to be all about Jesus. In the lukewarm Christianity, it's all about them. Because they love themselves, come on, more than they love anybody else. Can I ask you a question? Who do you love? And what do you love? And that will show you where your heart is, because that's where you put most of the time into. All right, here we go. Let's keep going. You're holding me up. Here we go. Covetous. Boasters, there you go. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Wait a second. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going back to old school. When I was growing up, if you did not obey, you got hit with a backhand or a belt or whatever else was in their hand. Amen? You were going to obey how quickly? Like right now. Like kids today, like they don't want to obey right now. You know what I'm looking at right now? You know what kind of game I'm playing right now? You want me to answer when? Hello? I mean, come on now. I'm talking about people who are obedient. When I was growing up, I lived in a row home. And there was 50 houses on one side and 50 houses on the other side together. There was 100 houses on one block. On my block, there's at least 500 people. If you did something outside in the street, the neighbor would call your parent and you'd get beat for that. Amen? I'm thinking, this is wrong. Amen? Come on now. I mean, you couldn't get away with nothing. Hello? And then my dad taught me a couple things. He taught me this. He said, you ready? You're always respectful to somebody. You hold the door for people. Brother Bronson and I were out last night. We were eating dinner, and we were over at the Texas Roadhouse. And there was a kid there, and I don't know why I didn't give him money. But he was probably about, I'm going to say, 10 or 11. And he's holding the door for everybody coming in. I'm thinking, that boy's been taught right. Amen? Come on now. I mean, holding the door. Now watch. Here you go. Ready? Unthankful. Listen, I got a grandson. He's 4 years old. If he sees something on TV, he says, I want that. Yeah, I want that. He has no idea what he's saying. The world is polluting his mind. He doesn't need that. But they want you to think you need that. I just remember, right, when my kids were really little. And you buy them these nice presents. And the baby plays with the box and the wrapping paper. I'm thinking, how dumb are we here? Amen? Come on now. Seriously. But my dad taught me, always have manners. Always say please and always say thank you. My dad, if you didn't say thank you, he'd take what he gave you back. Hello, you learned real quick, amen? Verse 3. Without natural affection, good night. We there today, huh? Can I help you today? The Bible says Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It doesn't matter what they're peddling. Do you hear me? It's against the Bible. That's where it is. It doesn't matter what they say. Come on. It matters what the Bible says. Come on, we need to take some stands on some things we believe in. Come on now. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accuser, incontinent, fierce, despisers are those that are good. Woo! We're there today, right? Was a day when good was here and evil was here. That's changed. How's that working out? Is America any kind of resemblance of what it was when it was founded? Lord have mercy. We got some stuff left, but not all of it. It's crazy. It's really nuts. Despise of them is verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wow, that's where we're at today, man. Do you watch a kid go into a restaurant? What do they usually have in their hand? Come on, they got a tablet, they got a phone, they got something to occupy them. My dad's occupation was a belt, amen? And you would sit in your little seat and pay attention, and you would not scream or holler, or you'd have to go visit in the bathroom. Hello? Some of you young kids know what I'm talking about, amen? Come on now. Act crazy. All right, here's what I do. Sometimes I'll be in a store and a kid will act up. And I'll find out which aisle it is and I'll go there and I'll give him a look. And the kid stops crying. Do you know when you check out why they have candy and all that at the checkout counter? Do you think they just thought about that clearly, like that just happened that way? No. It's so did you ever have kids like fall out? And the mom is so embarrassed she gives it to him, amen? Come on now. I'm ready to beat the parent, amen? That's what I'm ready to do. Hello, I'm not beating the kid, I'm beating the parent, amen? Verse 5. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power there for such turning away. Listen, that's what it was when I was a Roman Catholic. It was a power. Come on. But it wasn't, you ready? It was a form, but not the right power. It's something to follow, but it's not something to believe in. And it wasn't until I was 25 years old, till I trusted Christ as my personal Savior and heard for the first time in a Baptist church, it was Jesus plus nothing to get to heaven. And I said, you know what? That can't be right. That's not what I was taught. So they taught me a lie. I went to 12 years of Catholic school and they taught me a lie. Listen, I was in eighth grade. I was pretty much into religion a little bit. And I was contemplating on being a priest when I was in eighth grade. Then I started liking girls and that was the end of the story. Amen. I wasn't going there. Hello. It's normal, guys, if you like a girl. Okay. Hello. Don't pursue that any farther than that. But anyway, amen. I always thought, now I got a granddaughter. Ain't nobody getting close to her, amen. I'll have a cage around her, amen. I'm just saying. But here's the problem with somebody who's lukewarm. Sometimes what we call well-balanced, God calls vomit. Why would God tell this church he would rather them have them be cold? And why would Jesus choose an F student cold over a C student lukewarm? Why wouldn't he have said a nominal Christian over an inadequate condition? And here's the reason why. You ready? Watch. I believe the cold Christian knows where he is. The lukewarm Christian just thinks he's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Can I help you here? Except for the grace of God, I would not be here today. It's only by his grace, come on now, that he saved me and I'm here today. Hello? If it was my choice, come on, and I wasn't saved today, I wouldn't be here. But by the grace of God. So let me give you 3 points, maybe this morning, and we'll get out. The first problem we have with somebody who's a lukewarm Christian is, number one, he is in spiritual danger, and he doesn't even know it. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. He's in spiritual danger. 3:17. Revelation 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I was thinking about this and I thought about some people in the Bible. Sometimes cold, you become, you ready? You understand when somebody's a cold Christian, the need they have. Sometimes a lukewarm Christian thinks he's doing fine. He says, I'm not doing stuff too bad like Lot was. He said, I'm not overboard like a hot Christian, but I'm not wicked like a cold Christian. I have need of nothing. Lukewarm was the position that David was in when he sinned with Bathsheba. That was when Moses was in a lukewarm strait, when he smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. Peter was in the same condition when he denied Christ, when he never thought he'd do that. When we keep a safe distance from the world and from the Savior, we are in danger. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2, back of the Bible, 3 John's Jude and Revelation. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says this. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't know if you could be any clearer than that. Listen, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. This is not your home if you are a Christian today. We're just sojourning. Amen? We're here for a short period of time. Come on, our home is in eternity with God. Amen? That's forever. But listen, the world. Where's Caleb at? Caleb, come here for a second, would you please? Come here for a minute. Is this Caleb? No. Why did I? Caleb left. Timothy, come here, Tim. I'm sorry, Tim. I usually use Tim. Sorry, Tim. I'm getting old, Tim. Tim, man, he looks sharp. Doesn't he look sharp? That's a sharp-looking suit, man. All right, now listen to me. Tim is going to represent the world, okay? I'm the Christian. Do you know how close I want to be to the world? Come on, come on. I want to be as close as I possibly can. Come on. So I can just say it's not really affecting me, but I'm really enjoying the world. Do you know how far I should be away from the world? As far as I possibly can get. Most people like both. You ready? One foot in the world, one foot with the Lord. But you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the world or you're going to love God. There's no in between. You think you can do it. Have you tried it? It doesn't work. You can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. The question is, what's your choice? Well, you say, well, you know, watch. The way you live already tells us how you chose. All right, the Lord told me to give you that. That's you. Is that worth it?
Yeah.
What do you say when somebody gives you something?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Timmy, here, Tim. This is, put this in the offering. Don't you spend this gobble. Just take you out, bro. That dollar goes in the offering plate. All right, I'm going to check you out, bro. I know how you are. Amen. Timmy, hold on to every $6 of that thing. Amen. All right, look at the next part of the verse. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth for how long? Forever. Do you know how I can have the blessing of the Lord in my life and how you can have it in your life? Just do what God wants you to do. You say, well, that's easy. Yeah. Hello. That's not as easy as I just said. There's battles. There's trials. There's temptations. There's struggles. There's pulls. Come on now. And the bottom line is, you have to make a decision that you're going to love God more than you love the world. And what you love is what you're going to put into. Hello? If you love the Lord and you love the church, you ready? Watch. You'll give to the church. Oh, it's getting real quiet, because when you start talking about money, everybody gets nervous. Hello? And you, it's been preached to you. You know it. But why don't we do it? Tenth belongs to God. It doesn't even belong in your pocket. That's God's. I'm not even talking about your other funny money you have. Amen? I'm just talking about 10% that belongs to God. He's in spiritual danger. And the bottom line is, he doesn't even know it. Did you ever, listen, I'll tell you what happened to me. I had my big Sprinter van. Most people saw my Sprinter van I had here when I was working. I was coming from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and there was a snowstorm. And so the preacher told me there's a different way you can go. But what he didn't tell me was that it's back roads and it's sloped. And like only two vehicles can fit on this road. I'm thinking, I got the other guy, Ed, with me, who came here and worked at the building. I'm thinking, we might not get home alive. I'm thinking, good night, couldn't you tell me? I should have stayed on the highway. Hello? I didn't even know I was in danger. Hello? And when you push the detour button, there was no other way to go. No other way to go. It's just, did you ever do stuff where your knuckles are like, you're like, Yeah, that's where I was, amen. I'm crying for God's help the whole way down. I got the emergency brake. I'm holding on to that. I'm turning sideways a little bit. What I'm trying to say to you is sometimes we're in spiritual danger and we don't even recognize it. And sometimes in life, you ready? We just pull away from God. And we just think everything is okay. Now watch. Then when something happens, all of a sudden God gets our attention. Can I ask you a question? When that happens, how quick do you want God to answer your prayer? But you're in spiritual danger and you don't even know it, yet you want God to show up. Thank God for the grace and the mercy of God. Go back to Revelation chapter number 3 again. And the second point is he's in spiritual poverty. He's in spiritual danger. He's in spiritual poverty. Verse 18 and verse 19. 18 and 19, I'm sorry. Revelation 3, 18 and 19. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and what? Now, let me just share something with you. When I come to church, I'm out a lot preaching, but when I'm sitting in the pew where you're sitting right now, I just want God to speak to me. Like I want God to do something in my life. Like I need help. And I like when God says something to me, and this is what is scaring me all across, in my case, just the Northeast. We have become, come on, accustomed with not making decisions for the Lord. And sometimes what we do is we just say, I can do this in my pew. Like, what do we have the altar for? Well, the altar is a part of sacrifice. Come on. It is submission. We have a hard time with that because we like control. Can I help you this morning? And I'm this way. When God speaks to me, I just go. I don't even care if the whole world sees me going. You understand what I'm talking about? But we're losing it on this altar. We're losing it. I'm telling you. And you listen to me. Now, you could be older, and maybe you can't come down here, but you could come down here and stand. You could sit. But there's just something about getting out of your seat and recognizing where you are with God. Now, it's getting really quiet today, but I'm telling the truth here. Listen to me. I preach a lot. I'm out a lot. I don't want to ever get to the point where I'm settled where I am. I'm in spiritual danger. I don't even recognize it. I'm in spiritual poverty. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you read your Bible and you got something from God? Not because you did it out of duty, but because the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you. Come on, when? If it's been that long, something's got to change. Listen, if things aren't working, you got to change. But here's what we do. We become accustomed to what we're doing, and we just keep doing the same routine over and over. Do you know that's insanity? So what is it going to take for us to wake up? I always pray that God, listen to me, every morning I say, God, I have a schedule, God. Here's my plan today. But would you direct my plans to be your plans? And if there's a divine appointment, if there's somebody I'm supposed to talk to today, help me to recognize it and not be too busy to listen to somebody. I'm the kind of guy who's always talking, and sometimes it's hard for me to just be quiet. Hello? So when I get alone with God, I just want to get alone and be still. And I want to say, God, what do you want from my life? What do you want me to do? I don't want to become a person who's cold-hearted. I don't want to be somebody who's lukewarm so that I'm in spiritual danger and I don't even recognize it. And I got poverty in my life. Help me to be somebody who cares. I said a story in Sunday school. I have prostate cancer, and we had a fellow who was a pastor who was coming, supposed to come to the summit, and he canceled out the summit. I called him up. I said, preacher, can I help you with maybe getting here, finances or whatever? He said, no, I have prostate cancer. I said, okay, I have it. I said, where are you at in the beginning stages? He said, just go to the doctors. I said, you know, maybe the devil doesn't want you to come. Maybe God wants you to come. Whew. So he came. Do you know why he came? He listened to a guy who already was going through that cancer. Come on now. Now listen very carefully. Whatever you're going through in life, understand that God wants to use it in your life to help somebody else. That doesn't make it easier when you're going through it. And I know there's a lot of people going through things today in this church. But God wants you to help somebody else with it. Give them a little more encouragement. Hello. Listen, we ever believe today that God is in control or he's not? So did God know that I was going to get prostate cancer? It didn't catch God by surprise, right? So God allowed it, right? Sometimes we say like, oh, I can't. No, stop. Stop. God is in control. We either believe it and live like that or just throw the whole thing out. Come on now. But we don't believe it sometimes. Listen, we believe it as long as everything's going well. When problems happen, like, oh, God, why is this happening? Stop. Why not happening to you? Listen, they didn't treat the Lord right when he was here. So should you be treated right too? Come on now. We represent Christ. We're Christians. Supposed to be Christ-like. There's going to be problems. How many have problems? Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you got problems. Amen. Yeah, you're the person I'm talking to today. Amen. Hello. You don't even know you got problems. Amen. We're in spiritual poverty. We got hobbies, sports, fishing, Xbox, hunting. I mean, I go on and on. What we want to do, good, clean, comfortable, living, blinds, true spiritual condition. Our condition gets blinded. Living in America, good night. How many here Thanksgiving? Good night. I try to eat myself sick. Desserts? What are you kidding me? I'm carving the turkey. I'm like trying to sample it as I go. Amen? Hello? Blessed beyond measure. I haven't missed a meal. I could lose a couple meals. Amen? Come on now. What I'm trying to say to you today is sometimes because of us being so well-fed and well-blessed, we miss the whole spiritual part. Because we're feeding from the world. And listen to me. You hear me and hear me good. I'm serving God and I'm going around the Northeast because I'm looking to get the next generation. I'm looking to reach young people. That's what God's called me to do. I'm preaching to people, older people, that's fine. But I reach them kids, they got more of a life to serve God. Hello? I mean, they get on fire for God. One of them kids get on fire for God, they could leave a whole youth group. Come on now. But I don't want to be somebody who's just satisfied. Listen, I'm not what I used to be. Praise God for that. Woo! It's only the grace of God I stand here today. 17 years old, pretty close to being an alcoholic. Lose your dad at 14. Who knows? I mean, God got involved in my life. Listen, I'm not what I used to be. You ready? But I'm not what I should be. God's still working on me, man. Woo! I'm construction inside. I'm a big project. Amen? Hello. So is Brother Gus. Amen. And the last point, and we're through. He's in spiritual separation. Separation from the Savior, not to the Savior. Let me say that again. Separation from the Savior, not to the Savior. Revelation 3:20. We'll look a couple places and we'll close. Behold, I stand at the door and listen, he's knocking to somebody today. He's knocking at your heart today. The question is, are you going to answer? Listen, did you ever, like when somebody knocks on your door, you don't answer it? Like a Jehovah's false witness? Come on now. What do you usually do? That you act like nobody's home. Some of us don't have to act that way. We're normally that way. Amen. I fit into that build. Amen. But here's the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and I will sup with him and he with me. Woo! You know what I'm glad? Woo! I'm glad for the mercy of God. Woo! And no matter how far I get from God, God still loves me. It's hard to comprehend. You ready? I love you if you love me. If you don't love me, I don't love you. That ain't the way it's supposed to be, but that's normally how it is. Jesus said we're supposed to love our enemies. How many of you have ever had a bad neighbor? Lord have mercy. I got one right now. All his trees and all his leaves come on my property. Yeah. He doesn't cut his trees. Like what I want to do is, like, there's 50 bags of leaves. I want to take them, I want to fill the bag up, and I want to dump it over the fence in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, that's not a good testimony, but that's what I want to do in the flesh. But that ain't going to win them to Jesus. Hello? So I can excuse it, right? No, you are such a slick. Come on. Loser. Come on now. Depending on where your framework is and what you believe in. All right, turn to one other verse. James chapter 4. And I'll close with an ending thing and we'll be history, nothing but a mystery. All right? James 4:8. It's a tough one to swallow right here. 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That really sounds deep, doesn't it? You know what that means? That means today you're as close to God as you choose to be. That's what that means. You're as spiritual today as you choose to be spiritual. You chose it, right? Salvation cannot be changed because that's eternal. That is a relationship. That depends upon Jesus, not you. So once saved, always saved. Eternal security. But the other word is fellowship. Because you are as close to God as you choose to be. Listen to me. I'm as close to my wife as I choose to be. We just married 43 years. What I'm trying to say to you, to have a right marriage, to have the right fellowship, you have to spend time with them. And do you know, I still don't understand my wife in 43 years. Can I get a witness right there? Amen? Hallelujah. Because I don't think like her. Do you know that women think differently? Huh. Like, don't you understand? No, I don't. I have no idea. 43 years, I still don't have it. Amen? Hello? Look at the rest of the verse. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. So you know what that means? Ready? Ready, watch. So here's what it means. So when I get closer to God, I'm going to really see where I am. Most of us don't know where we are because we're not close to God enough. So how in the world are you going to know unless you get close? Hello? Do you know how you get close? I'm going to help you. coming to church. Well, that happens, but here you go. Ready? Right here. The Bible. It's a mirror. Sometimes I don't like what it says. Matter of fact, sometimes I disagree. That doesn't change the Word of God. Hello? The person has got to change is me. God doesn't have to change. I got to change. Listen, how many of you have ever told somebody your mind? I ain't got much of a mind, so I can't tell too many somebody a lot of stuff. Amen? Hello? Did you ever, you ready? Did you ever get ready to say something and you knew it was wrong and you didn't want it to come out, but it came out anyway? And as it's coming out, you wish you could grab it back and put it back in there because you done messed up? The problem is your focus is wrong, and if you were close to God, you wouldn't do that. Watch it. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There we are. We're back to here again. We're back to where the world is. You can't serve God and mammon because you're going to love the one and hate the other. I remember my wife and I, we're going to full-time evangelism 12 years ago. And the natural thing is, like, what's going to happen with no paycheck? Well, listen, either God is in control or not, right? So here, I'll give you an illustration. So here was I was. All righty? So July 6th of 19, I got saved. So July of 1982, and I probably told this testimony, but it's good right now. I'm going to say it again. I was sitting on the second pew, and the Holy Spirit of God said, I want you to surrender. I said, if I surrender, you're going to call me to be a missionary. And you're probably going to call me to Africa. Lions, tigers, snakes. I hate snakes. Don't even tell me what kind of snake. I just hate snakes. Okay, that's just like women. Like my wife hates spiders. She sees a spider, she goes, ah! I said, what? It's a spider. But I hate snakes. Okay? So I'm sitting there. I'm just saying, the Lord, it's the invitation. The Lord said, well, if you don't surrender, you're disobedient. I said, what? Why you got to go there? Couldn't you have been a little more easier with that? No, sometimes you don't need it easy. What he's telling me is if I'm not willing to surrender, then really I'm not listening to God. Whew. I'm 27 years old. I didn't get saved until I was 25. Whew. Do you know what I did? Whew. I got up out of that seat and I came down this old-fashioned hall. And I said, God, today I'm going to make myself available. And whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do. Now, I'm not perfect and I got a lot of problems. But I'm going to tell you something. I tried. And I'm trying. And I surrender my life every day because I have to. But that day, July of 1982, whew. What God has done for me and my family and my ministry has been unbelievable. And I relate it back. Listen to me. I relate it back to there. So can I ask you a question? What are you holding on to today? What do you have in your secret place that God can't have? And you're not willing to give it up so God can do something bigger and greater. And I say this all the time. Without opposition, I wonder sometimes if I'm really doing the right thing. When I have opposition, I understand. The devil's fighting. It's okay. I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy. This is the old testimony of God. I mean, we did 10 vacation Bible schools. 199 kids got saved and 35 people assurance and 50 called to the ministry. That is all God. Do you hear me? Listen to me. I relate it all the way back to July of 1982. Could you imagine if I never surrendered the souls that never would have been reached had I not surrendered? Woo! So what is it in your life that you're not willing because you're lukewarm? And you're not willing for God to take over. You still want to have control. Maybe God just wants you to just die to yourself today. I close with this. If you're going to be somebody who's not a lukewarm Christian, there's three things I have in here. You have to recognize, like we said, that you're in spiritual danger. Ask God for help. Can you remember when you were on fire? Go back to Bethel. You can return to God. You're still alive today. Woo! I got this written down here. I picked it up from somewhere. What is your excuse? You ready? Well, listen to this. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossip. Mary was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Zacchaeus was short. A lot of people say that. Amen. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. Now, what's your excuse? So what's your excuse? Are you going to live just the same way you are now, and you're going to continue to be the same way till you die? God, help us. It's never too late. Now is the time. God has a plan. Seize the moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm through. I'm finished.